All right, Proverbs chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse number 7. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the principal thing. You'll notice in Proverbs 4, verse 7, he says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as a church family. Lord, we thank you for the soul that was saved this morning. What a blessing. What a joy. And Lord, I ask you to bless him. I ask you to bless this week as we meet and begin the discipleships. I pray that you'd, Lord, rebuke the devourer who always wants to come in there and snatch the seed as soon as he can so it won't bring forth fruit. We know, Lord, he's saved, and there's nothing the devil can do about that, but he sure can try to stop him from bringing forth fruit. Now, I pray, Father, that you'd just bless, that you'd give me and Lord, as well as Tom, I pray you give us both the dedication level, the commitment, wisdom, direction. I pray we'd see great things to come, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for using Brother Todd and for his testimony, for his not giving up and trying to witness to his family. And Lord, my heart's very stirred and encouraged. I know Todd is as well. And I thank you for letting me be a small part of it, Lord. I pray that you'd really just strengthen him and help him. Speak to our hearts now, God, we pray, and give us something from this passage of Scripture. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the message. And I pray, Father, we grow spiritually tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As I just obviously mentioned in my prayer this morning after the service, Todd's brother Tom wanted to talk to me. Went in the office there and trusted Christ as a Savior. And what a blessing. He put a Facebook post on there, a real, real moving Facebook post to his brother and his favorite sister-in-law. Amen. I wonder how that works for the family get-togethers, but I'll leave that up to you guys. I don't want to know. But what a blessing. Amen. So praise the Lord. He's planning on moving out this way. He said his church is here. His work is here. And he thinks it's time to move this way. So praise the Lord for that. What a blessing. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Talking about the principal thing in the Christian life. Now, here in verse 8, wisdom is referred to as a female. Exalt her. And that is the first tip that you and I have, that it's not necessarily talking this time about Jesus Christ. Obviously, we've seen wisdom personified as Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is never referred to as a female. The body of Christ is. The bride of Christ is. So what he's talking about here is not you attaining your salvation. He's saying, listen, there's something you need to get. There's something that I need to get tonight. Wisdom is the principal thing. I think the key to verse number 7, to getting wisdom, is seen down in verse 23. Look at that if you would. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I believe the reason most Christians don't ever get wisdom is because their heart is not a heart towards wisdom. I believe people get saved, and it's so obvious. You've seen it, I've seen it. Somebody gets born again, they've trusted the Lord as their Savior. I mean, serve the Lord for years. Some people go to church for many years. They read their Bible, and they seem to have a great testimony of a life of victory. They seem to have a wonderfully put-together home, and everything seems okay on the outside. But the reality is, there's not a lot of depth there. There's not a lot of wisdom to that individual. I think the honest truth is, it's because most of the time, we don't have a heart to get wisdom. I mean, honestly, how much, just be honest with yourself and God, how much this week have you sat back and evaluated yourself, sat down with the open Bible in your lap and a prayerful heart and a prayerful attitude saying, "God, I need, I long for, I desire wisdom." We go through our week and we work on our children or our marriage or our relationships or whatever it is, whether you're single or married, you know, you have relationships in your life. You understand that, right? Your actions affect people around you. We go through our life and through one day after the next day in our troubles and our struggles and our ups and our downs. And rarely do we ever stop and say, "God, give me wisdom today to handle things the right way." But you and I need wisdom. He says actually there in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. First and foremost, you ought to start with seeking God for wisdom. The book of James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The reason we don't really desire wisdom is we don't really love God like we ought to. We don't really desire a greater knowledge of God. Actually, that word wisdom means this from the Webster's, principle means this from the Webster's 1828. He says, in a general sense, the cause, source, or origin of anything, that from which a thing proceeds, as the principle of motion, the principles of action. He says wisdom is the principal thing. So out of wisdom then, understanding the definition of the word principle, out of wisdom many other things will come. Does that make sense? You say, what I need in my life is this. What I need is that. No, what you need is to rewind a little bit and say, God, let's get back to the root of the issue. Give me what I need then to produce what needs to be produced in the rest of my life. So all of your life really can be solved. All of your questions can be answered if, first of all, you'll seek wisdom. It's the principal thing. You ever talk to somebody and you know, like they like ask you about your life and they're asking you for advice, and what they're trying to do is evaluate your circumstances based on their circumstances. So they can make a decision, like almost put in my head what I need to do next. The best thing to do is say, you know what, my life is very different from yours. My circumstances may be very different than yours. Why don't we back up and ask God for wisdom so you can assess your own life and figure out where God would have you to go from here? It's kind of like the difference between giving a man a fish and teaching him to fish. Right? It's a lot easier to hand him a fish and walk away. Amen. But to teach somebody to fish, that's a little bit different. Spiritually in your Christian life, if you learn to get wisdom, it's like therefore learning to fish. So now from wisdom, I can figure out what I'm to do from here. I can figure out where to go from here. A wise man or a wise woman, you can see a few things in the passage that wise person will kind of like get in their life, and these fruits of wisdom will begin to show. So you can ask yourself, as we run down a list of things here, am I a wise person? Am I seeking wisdom? First of all, if you're seeking wisdom, look at verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. A person who says, I want wisdom, I desire wisdom, God, give me wisdom. God, my heart desires to have wisdom from you. That person will be a person who will hear instruction. We can stop there and go home. We live in a day and age of don't tell me what to do. Nobody's going to talk to me like that. You want people come into a church like this and leave and won't come back? Nobody's going to talk to me like that. You know what you are? You're a fool. Because if there's a God in heaven and He's got a book open and we're opening that book and going through that thing, then if that crosses me, makes me uncomfortable, I don't like the instruction that I've heard, if I'm wise, instead of getting mad, instead of getting offended, instead of rebelling against the truth, I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to turn it around. I think, who was it, Bob Jones Sr. or Billy Sunday, one of these old school guys, was quoted as saying, if it rubs the fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. Yeah. You know, if you just get right with God and hear some instruction, you'd quit getting your feathers ruffled all the time. Yeah. Amen. It's proof of a fool. Proof of a person that doesn't have any wisdom. In other words, it doesn't require you to be perfect. Amen. A wise person is not a perfect person. A wise person is a person who goes, yeah, that's a problem in my life. And I heard the preaching. I saw it in the Word of God. I feel the conviction of God's Spirit. So therefore, since I desire wisdom, it's the principal thing, and I'm after wisdom in my life, I think it would be wise for me to hear the instruction and turn around my ways, accept what God is saying to me. That is wisdom. Somebody who has wisdom, is seeking wisdom, is putting wisdom first, is a person who will hear instruction. He says the instruction of a father. Well, first of all, it makes me think of my heavenly Father. Read your Bible. Read your Bible to allow it to cut you. That's a good piece of advice. We always like to read our Bible to get verses to use on other people. Yeah, boy, I'm telling you, man, that's a fool. That's somebody who's not reading the Bible to get the most out of that book. If you're going to get the most out of that book, open that up and say, God, I want to see myself in this book. I want to see the truth about me. I want to see the truth about my direction. I want to see the truth about my attitude. God, instruct me in the direction I'm going. That's a wise person who's seeking to hear some instruction. But we open up our Bible oftentimes just to get it off our conscience. We open up our Bible oftentimes just to kind of stay with our habit. We open up our Bible oftentimes to try to prove we're right and everybody else is wrong. Try to point out where everybody else is wrong. No, a wise person says, God, I'm opening up this book so that you can show me where I'm wrong. I'll hear your instruction. Go to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to notice something here. This is interesting. I've said it before, but God gave me a verse here that's like, man, that's so clear. And I never saw the verse in this context. 1 John chapter 2, please. We'll start in verse number 12. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then Jude, then Revelation. So all the way to the back there. 1st John chapter 2. He says this in verse 12. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Alright, so if you're saved, your sins are forgiven. I don't care if you're 50 or if you're 5. If you've just gotten saved, you spiritually are a little child. Right? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know what I'm afraid to say many people have been in church for many years and they're still babies. They're still little children spiritually. If all you are is saved, then you're a little child. So how do I go from being a little child to a young man spiritually? The spiritual growth process. Look at the next verse. He says, I write unto you fathers, we're going to come back to that in a minute, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Well, there's some victory in your life. What we talked about this morning, victory being not being enough. So they got into Canaan land and they got going and they won some battles and they took out Ai and they took out Jericho and there was a growth process, some changes, some victory, some strength. Amen? Like, I'm not listening to that anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to smoke that. I'm not going to use that language anymore. What's happening in you is that you're becoming strong. Right? Well, some people already aren't happy. I'm right on. Praise Jesus. Amen. He says, because you have overcome the wicked one, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong. Now watch it. And the word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. So when a Christian gets to a point in their growth process where the word of God begins to abide in them, they're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're starting to put some things together, it's starting to make sense. To be honest with you, most of the time, you graduated from Bible college. Okay, your life has changed, you're dedicated, you're sold out, you're 100% in. But most of the time, you walk out of Bible college with an immense amount of Bible knowledge, and you're not a father, you're a young man. One of the best things that can happen is to get in a church somewhere and sit underneath another preacher and just shut up. Amen. And clean bathrooms and run vacuum cleaners and whatever else. I'm called to preach! I know, and you're a young man and you're strong and you got a lot to give. But the time ain't right yet. What's the difference? Because he said, hear the instruction of a father, right? So what's the difference between a young man and a father? Most young men are always giving their opinion. Always wanting to argue, always wanting to prove how much they know. Always, the glory of a young man is his strength. So the glory of a young man spiritually is his spiritual strength.
Well, I used to be back in the day and God's given me the victory. And well, brother, you know what though? That's actually referring to the millennial kingdom. And
Well, okay, I'm happy and I'm impressed and I'm glad you're growing and I'm glad you're strong and I'm glad you got some victory and I'm glad you got some Bible knowledge, but there's not a full maturity there yet. You know what caught my attention? More than once in here, when he refers to the Father, you know what he says about the fathers? I've written unto you fathers, verse 14, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. It's not to say that little children don't know the Lord. They know him. It's not to say that young men don't know the Lord. They know him. But a father spiritually is somebody who's gotten to a point where they don't just know the Bible. They were saved. They went through that growth process. They got strong. They overcame the wicked one. You'd never make it to a father until you've been a young man first, right? A father's a guy who's been through all that. He got all that victory. He got all that growth process. And now, his knowledge of the Bible is tempered with a knowledge of God. And that takes time and circumstances. That just doesn't come overnight. It takes pain and pressure. It takes a broken heart. It just takes a while to get there. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. And I think God sees things honestly, and we all would evaluate ourselves, and you know, we give ourselves a good stripe, I'm sure. You know, what do you want? I'm a 4th-degree black belt, that's what I am. In reality, you're a white belt, you know. You might have made it to blue, next step up. I wonder what God sees. You know what I look for? In a counselor and in somebody to give me advice and give me help, I look for a father. I don't just want a guy who can just throw verses at me all the time. It just irritates me. I want a guy who knows how to take the verses he's learned and he's internalized and he's gotten to know God. And it's not just doctrine and superficial spirituality that he can quote, well, you know, forgiving yourself, be forgiven on you. No, I want a guy who's come to know God and how God works and God's mind and God's heart and can look past the surface of the thing and can see and say, well, in my experience, brother, and what I come to know about the Lord and that knowledge of God, I watch and make sure that knowledge of God is entirely based on his knowledge of the scriptures. Not to do away with his childish salvation, his new salvation in Christ. Not to do away, a guy who still appreciates being saved. You understand what I'm saying? He could shout amen and get fired up about the little things in Jesus. A guy who got some victory in his life and got a great knowledge of the scripture and then grew from that into being a father where he's known him that's from the beginning. I find a guy like that and I'd be glad to say, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And you know what's really hard about that? It's real hard to be an open book. So I'm real careful about who I do it with. I got two guys I do it with. And I just lay it out. And I say, you know what, to be honest with you, I think my heart's like this. I think the reason it bothers me is because of that. I got this issue. I mean, just lay it out, man. I get frustrated. I get jealous. I get this. I get that. And here's what do you think of the whole thing? You know what I found a father can do? He can sit back and he can go, yeah, man, I know that feeling. And he can help me. I don't know about you, but I want to get wisdom. In order to do that, I got to hear instruction. Not just from my Heavenly Father, but from some men he put a gift in on this earth, and they're fewer and farther between as time goes on. But somebody who can help me. Can I tell you something? When they help me, it almost always hurts. And that's why wisdom is so hard to get. Because it will cross you. It will make you feel like scum. It'll humiliate you. It'll embarrass you. And it'll show you the reality of what you and I actually are. And it's hard. It's hard to swallow that instruction. But he said, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. And if you're a guy who's going to get wisdom, you got to hear instruction. How about you? You hear instruction? I got a feeling most of the time in our immaturity, we just rebel against it instead of accept it so we can get better. Back in Proverbs chapter 4. Instruction not only comes from a father, but look at verse 13. He says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, I'm going to give you a spiritual application here. I'm not going to argue with you. I wouldn't debate you over this. But what I get a picture of in my mind as I'm studying and praying over this thing and looking at the text, you know what I think of? I think of being on a ship in a storm. And the lightning's crashing and the waves are bigger than that ship and you're seasick and you're vomiting and you're hanging on and you got a grip onto something that's firmer than the storm. He says, take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. You know, in the times of turmoil in your life, you're not happy, your heart's sick, your heart's broke for whatever reason, things haven't turned out like you want, whatever it is. That is a time to develop some wisdom. And what you should do during that time is get a hold of instruction and say, hey, here's my situation. Can you help me with this? God, can you help me with this? You know what we do in times like of distress and of panic and of heartbreak? We throw away instruction. We lash out at the people that can help us, don't we? Come on, why is it that when there's pressure going on, you guys start getting after each other? Amen. You hear the old guys talk about when a wife's going through menopause, you know, like, their world's falling apart. That's just natural, isn't it? You lash out at the people that are closest to you. My wife and I have come to figure out, you know, sometimes, like, man, what is so-and-so's problem? Well, they got problems in their life, and they like to take it out on everybody else around them. Well, you know, the problem is you. No, the problem's really not me. The problem's you. And you're frustrated, and you're miserable, and the storm's blowing. And so instead of drawing closer to God, closer to each other, closer to that instruction, seeking that instruction and getting hold of it and saying, I'm not letting go of this no matter what it looks like. I need this safety. I need this help. I need this strength right now. I'm going to take fast hold on instruction from God, instruction from those around me who love me. Instead of that, what do? We act the fool. It's real quiet. I don't know if I'm boring you to death or if it's like right where real life is. I'm not sure which. Some of you are smiling. You might be patronizing me. I don't know. So let's move on to the next one. Amen. It'll get better. Somebody that's got wisdom, the principal thing, what grows out of that, besides a person who will hear instruction, is a person of understanding. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore with get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding seems to be a byproduct of wisdom. Well, I'll tell you what, I want understanding. Look at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. You remember when we had the first one, I gave you all those definitions of these terms, right? Understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. To depart from evil is understanding. You know, if you're a person of wisdom, you know what you'll do? You'll keep your feet off the wrong paths. That's verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. If you're a person who says, wisdom is what I'm going to get in my life. God, I want wisdom. I'm seeking wisdom. I'm praying for wisdom. Then with wisdom, you'll start to gain some understanding. You'll start to say, you know what? That's not going the right direction. That path is not the path God would have me on. The instruction I'm getting from the Word of God, the lamp under my feet and the light under my path. A lamp shines right here, a light shines down the road. I can see not only where I'm at, but I can see where this is taking me. And a person of understanding says, I'm not going that direction. In other words, kids, you know, the peer pressure at school or the peer pressure in the neighborhood. Oh, we're homeschoolers. I mean, we got a church full of homeschoolers, right? We're homeschoolers. We got them perfectly sheltered, and they should never struggle with drugs or alcohol or any of the other evil things in the world. Mom and Dad, get your head out of the sand. Yeah. Amen. First time I ever saw drugs or alcohol was in a Christian school. Your kids need to get wisdom. Solomon was a young man when God put wisdom in him to be a king of the greatest nation on the planet. You need wisdom. Come on, Mom and Dad won't know. I think God said, be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, what your sin does when you commit it and you think you got away with it is it follows you around. It finds you out. It comes back to get you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I got away with it. No, you didn't. It is lurking in the shadows, and it is on your back, and it's coming. And it might take 5 years, it might take 10 years, and sometimes it might take 20 years, but it will come back to get you. You're just trying to scare us. Yeah, absolutely right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So yes, I'm trying to scare you. Amen. I'd rather scare you than this generation that says, oh, just go ahead and try it. You know, you never know. Maybe you're born, no, knock until you try it. And then they ruin your life and wreck your soul. And then say, well, you know, at least we didn't want to scare them. No, I'd rather scare them. Amen. I want my kids to see my eyes just popping. And when they see my eyes popping, I shouldn't even have to make a dirty face. I don't want to say, oh, Daddy, what did I do? You know what you did. A little bit of fear is good for us. Amen? Amen. Like, oh, that's mental torture. No, no. Telling them that they were born perverts is mental torture. Amen. Messing with their heads. Naturally, that stuff doesn't... You have to teach them that stuff. You have to market them with that stuff. It does not come naturally. Amen. You adults know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't go in the way with evil men. Oh, we won't tell. Yeah, they will. Watch out who you hook up with at work, adults. Who you hook up with at work. And I'm coming to you, man, you better slow down because you're making the rest of us look bad. Oh, you guys are stealing. Are you slowing down? Amen. Well, no, it didn't make me very popular at all, but I could care less. Don't go in the way with evil men. A little bit of understanding will keep you off the wrong path. Can I say something, adults? You feel chemistry? Well, you know, me and my spouse, we used to have it, but we just don't have it anymore. You're a fool. You start feeling chemistry, you run. Because whoever this idiot is now that you feel chemistry with, that'll wear off, I promise. Amen. Little too flirtatious, you better run. You got no understanding. Amen. Well, I just, you know, I miss the old days when we were romantic. Okay, well, real life is slapping you in the face. Sorry about that. Recognize it, work on it. But sinning and going in the way with evil men and doing the wrong things, gentlemen, you know, the old gray mare just ain't what she used to be. Yeah, and you are. Amen. My dad used to say that. The old gray mare just ain't what she used to be, you know. Poor mother. I don't know how she put up with that, but you know what? He was always saying it the way I'm saying it. You guys, come on. Really? Let's get some wisdom. Let's get some understanding. Let's not go in the wrong. Let's get our foot off of that path. Stay away from evil men. Somebody who seeks wisdom doesn't even enter into the path of the wicked. You have no business hanging out where you used to hang out. Hanging out with the people you used to hang out with. You're going to wind up messed up. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It does not work the opposite way. Well, I just want to reach them. It doesn't work like that. If there's a heart in them that desires salvation, that desires God, that wants to go on what they would say nowadays the path, you know, the right path. I'm looking for the right path. I'm trying to walk my path. Then when you stop hanging out with them and they see a difference in your life, they will get a hold of you and they will say, help me, I need some help. But you're not going to help them if you get in the way with them and wind up doing what they're doing. Because that's exactly what will happen. Well, you know, I hang out with them while they're smoking pot, but I don't smoke pot with them. You got no business hanging out with them. Yeah. Hey, man, you ain't smoking that stuff in my car. Get out. Well, dude, it's dark and it's cold. Walk. I don't care. Just stinking problem, man. Amen. Say no to drugs. And say no to drug users. Amen. Don't be around the wrong kind of people. Understanding gets you to depart from evil. It doesn't just say, I don't do evil. It says you depart from evil. You get away from it. I would never. Yes, you would. Yes, amen. I got some confidence in some people in this room. So you shouldn't have confidence in the Lord, brother, not in people. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. In an unfaithful man. But a faithful man, you can have some level of confidence in, right? Can I tell you something? There's not a person in this room, myself included, who I think is not capable of messing up in some major ways. So a wise person says, I'm not going even in that path. Why? Because I don't trust myself.
Preacher, what do you got some skeletons in the closet?
Yeah, the flesh. How about you? I don't trust myself.
I'm strong enough.
Okay, tough guy, then go on and do your thing. I'm not. I'm going to run. Only thing worse than running is getting beat up. Right? You can run because, you know what, I just didn't want to hurt you, man. I'm a nice guy.
No, you're a chicken.
No, really, I'm a nice guy. And if I got in it with you, I'd have hurt you. But, I mean, if he actually beats you up, what are you going to say? You're going to do like the rest of us. I slipped.
My back started hurting. I got a bad back, right?
Just run. Amen. Verses 15 through 17. Understanding will keep you from even getting near it. Avoid it. See it? Pass not by it. You know what drug addicts have a problem with? Triggers. Right? So you used to get off work and you used to drive this way home and that was your stop, right? So you want the victory? Take 10 more minutes to get home. Go the long way around. Avoid, you know what your triggers are? Avoid it. At all costs. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I mean, turn your back right on it and go. Verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. You know what wicked people want to do? They want to drag you down to where they're at. Person of understanding doesn't even get close. Hear this argument all the time, you know, you can look but you can't touch. Right? You're not a person of wisdom or understanding, you're a fool. Well, I just don't know what's wrong with, you know, it's a social drink. I'm not an alcoholic, I just have a social drink, and what's the big deal? Okay, let me ask you a question. If there's a possibility that that path could lead you to drunkenness, a possibility, and you know other people have wound up in drunkenness, and you see multiple warnings in the Bible, why are you running to the verses that you think give you an excuse? I'm just talking about wisdom, that's all I'm talking about. I'm not going to sit here and, well, you know, go through all the verses and go back and forth and debate over. I'm just saying when you grow up spiritually, I'm sorry, let me say that nicer. When you attain unto wise counsels and gain some wisdom, you'll say, you know what, even if I could, why would I? I'm just asking, why are all bars dark and bar rats are in trouble and people that are drunk are getting arrested and pulled over and killing people in vehicles and committing all kinds of ungodliness, all kinds of sin. Just you know, associate the fruit. And just figure out what God would have you to do then. What's wise? Paul said, I'll eat no meat while the world standeth. Let's meat make my brother to offend. Now that's a spiritually very mature man. Don't you think Paul knew he could put a big old flat steak on a black rock? Amen. And he could cut that thing wide open and not lose his salvation or his spirituality or the fruit for God. Don't you think he knew that? See, I know you don't like this kind of reasoning because it's really frustrating. You'd rather butt heads about who knows more and who's stronger in their Bible knowledge, right? Well, let's go past all that. Paul said, I ain't touching meat because I don't want to offend somebody else. There's no way I would ever be an alcoholic. Okay, but what about another Christian who was? Who got saved and got the victory. Well, if I sneak and I'm real careful. He said, I won't eat it while the world standeth. So if you're not an alcoholic and it's not a big deal to you, then why do you got to do it? Why can't you just be like, yeah, no big deal. I'm not addicted to it anyhow. The more you fight for it, the more I doubt about it. I really doubt you. You know, you're heading down the wrong path and you're lacking understanding and you're not seeing where that thing's going to come out at in the end. Amen. That's good. I thank you. I appreciate your support. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Well, you can look, but you can't touch. Fool. You won't hear instruction. What made Job such a great man? I made a covenant with my eyes. I wouldn't look on a maid. Whoops. You know, you can read the menu without ordering. You're an idiot. I'm sorry. Is that offensive? How does your wife feel about that? Say it to her. I'll tell you what Jim Litt said, because I wouldn't say it. He said, ma'am, if you see your husband looking at another woman, ball up your fist and punch him right in the side of the head as hard as you can. And he said, fellas, if you see her looking at a man, ball up your fist and, no, don't hit her, you'll go to jail. He was kidding. I didn't say it. Jim Litt said it, amen. He's in heaven now, so you take it up with him when you get there, amen. But really, how does your wife feel about it? A fool looks at what he can't have. The heart's wrong. A wise man says, yeah, no thank you, I'll run. Wisdom also does something else. Wisdom produces the right doctrine. Verse 2, I give you good doctrine. We parked it on that last week, so we're not going to run it back over it again. But can I say that if you and I have wisdom, we'll attain to sound doctrine? You love doctrine in the Bible. Do you know what you believe and why? Well, our church teaches, well, I think, hey, did you ever notice that sound doctrine and attaining to sound doctrine gets God's approval? Wait a minute. Study to show thyself what? approved unto God. A workman, yes, that dirty word. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why Christians don't know their doctrine and don't know their Bible and don't study their Bible and don't put the time in? Because it's work. But if you're willing to work, you can gain God's approval. A wise person gets in that book and tries to learn doctrine. Why do I believe what I believe? Can I defend what I believe? Do I know what I believe? Do I know it well enough to where when I bump into somebody else at work who's been misled, somebody who's seeking, I can open up my Bible and I can show them. Oh, I can't do that. That's okay. If you're a wise person, if you're seeking wisdom, if your heart is right with God and you want to get there, then you're putting the work in. And with time, it'll come together. I'm almost ashamed sometimes to admit, like, things that I've said, known, spouted off, are just now in my life actually clicking to where they're internalized. It's like, whoa, how did I miss that all these years? I thought I already knew that. I even said I knew that. I would even debate and argue that point, but I never really got that. So let me just encourage you that you don't have to have all the answers tonight. But you ought to be a person seeking some sound doctrine. Wouldn't it be great to pass some stuff on to our kids where we equip them so well that they surpass us? Wouldn't that be a blessing? If that happens, don't become that cranky, patronizing, envious, condescending older person. Because they're younger and they'll always feel like you're ahead of them. I speak from experience. And you're like, wow, what's that person's problem? And then you start figuring it out. And it's like in the meanwhile, you've been getting discouraged and pushed down because they see the growth and they're like, I want my kids to surpass me. Man, one of my biggest prayers is, God, give me four son-in-laws who are born again, who love you, who believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and who know that book. I don't care if they're preachers or missionaries. That's God's business. I don't care. My daughter's like, you have to marry a preacher. You have to marry a missionary because my credibility is on the line as a parent raising God. All of my children are on the mission field. Well, good for you. What did God want them to do? If he's a godly garbage man carrying a Bible in his pocket trying to win souls to Jesus Christ, good job, honey. You did real good for yourself. It's going to be hard to find four guys like that. That's one of my prayers. I hope to God my kids grow up and get a man that believes that book and knows that book and loves that book and loves the God of that book and loves them. Good doctrine. The last thing I want you to see. A person who seeks wisdom, which is the principal thing, is a person who hears God's commandments. Verse 4, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. What happens, Christian, when you get a hold of God's commandments and keep them? Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. God's commandments give grace and glory. You know what you and I do? We rebel against anything that's like a commandment. Right? Well, you said that too rough. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to be nicer. I realize that. But I've never been like to my preacher, like, I don't know why you couldn't say please and thank you with that. It's like, I don't know. I'm just not wired that way, I guess. I don't get it. It's like, if it needs to be... That was Jim. That's all I got for 2 years. Okay, whatever. If he was right, he was right. I appreciate it. I respect a man who can just say this, that, and that, you know, X, Y, Z. I got to go. See you, man. But nowadays, it's like if you don't say everything, just so to people. Just so. You know what it is? I think it's a rebellious spirit. I'm not saying it's okay to be rude. I understand that. But we live in this generation. Don't tell me what to do. Won't hear instruction. Right? Well, you know what? God's got some commandments. How do you like that word? Say that again. Commandments. We live in this day and age where we patronize our children's psyche so much that they can't take a commandment. Let me give you an example of a commandment. Clean your room. I'm not doing it for you. We've done that for 10 years. You guys are old enough at this point. We got the rest of your mess to clean up. Plus two dogs. We'll do everything but the poop. You guys are taking care of that later. Amen. Oh, Dad! Well, girls, we shouldn't have to do that stuff. Go. God didn't give me boys, so get out there. They will be mowing the grass too. Amen. And taking out the trash. Hallelujah. Commandments. Boy, we got a rebellious generation. The cop says, stop. And he says, don't tell me what to do. My mama never did. And I don't know my daddy, because that idiot couldn't take a commandment. So I'm not stopping. And if you shoot me, a whole bunch of us are going to rip this city apart and we're going to wreck your life. Christians ought not be living like that. We ought to know the difference. We ought to know better. Can't take commandments, so what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to go give some pigs wings. I'm sorry, I just... But the police have to be paranoid. Paranoid to do their job. You know what we got? A nation that's lost its stinking mind because we won't listen to what God says. Get the Ten Commandments out. Get the Bible out. Because we don't want to, you know, hurt people. We don't want to offend people's psyches. Forget it. That's why people don't like authoritative preaching. It's like, whoa, what's that dude's problem? Well, that's just the way the book is written. I'm sorry. I'm just supposed to preach. That's my job. Preach the book. That's it. And the Bible's not about patronizing your psyche. All is sin that comes short of the glory of God. Oh, by the way, your righteousness are filthy rags. Look what I did, God. That is nasty. Look at me. I'm so spiritual. God says, you're disgusting. How's that for an intellectual, psychological blessing? Commandments. You know, God's commandments are a good thing. They give grace and glory to the person who goes, God said it, I'll do it. Grace and glory. Isn't that interesting? Grace and glory. I don't know about you, but I don't want disgrace. Do you? Isn't it rough to be disgraced? A lack of glory. Ain't that what we all seek? Pastor didn't say hi to me. Yeah, you want some glory, don't you? You want to make sure that he knew that you were here and all. You're such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Oh, God bless you. You look so nice today. I walk up to one of the guys, and I won't say his name, but it was kind of funny, actually. I don't know what got into me, and I felt bad about it later, sort of. But I said, man, what's the matter with you? You look like 40 miles of bad road. Did you get hit by a truck or something? He's cracking up. Man, I'm so glad we don't got a bunch of sensitive men in this church. We're all cracking up back there, goofing around. But nowadays, it's like people are just like, they constantly want to be pampered. Commandments. Thou shalt not. Hey, you know what they are? They're grace and glory. God's commandments give a long and happy life. Look at verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Remind you of the first commandment in Ephesians 6? What is it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. I hope the kids got that memorized. I won't embarrass you right now, you guys, but if not, we need to work on that in Sunday school. Amen. Bonus points. Are the teachers all in here tonight? Who's up this month? Pastor Chad? Josh? Do you know when you're teaching? You just got done with a month, so Brother Chad, you just started. Hoffman's. Does anybody know who's teaching? Kids, do you know who your Sunday school teacher is? Is anybody down there?
Well.
Busted. How about bonus points? How about we do something special? How about we get them like a king-size candy bar or something if they get those extra verses by next Sunday? Ephesians 6, what is that, 1 and 2? I just quoted it. Plus their normal verse and a bonus. Just give me the names and I'll get the candy bars or something. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. How about that for a promise? So God doesn't give commandments to torture us. He gives us commandments to have a happy life. To get it done the right way. To enjoy it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This is where to nourish and cherish her. You know what he says? He says, a man that loveth his wife loveth his own self. So when you love your wife, what happens? You reap the benefits of a happy, loved wife. Amen. So dating her and taking her out and pampering her. It's really, I mean, my wife is sitting here looking at me. I got to move on. All right. That's the benefit of being the pastor. Every job has its perks. Amen. Really, it's you and I that reap the benefit when we love her like we see. God's commandments aren't grievous, you guys. They're wonderful. Verse 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Obeying God's commandments gives security and speed to your step. Everybody says God's commandments are too constraining. No, God's commandments are liberating. And if you get that through your thick skull, see, like, I was listening to you, and then you had to say thick skull. That's because you got a thick skull. If you get through that, I know I have one too, amen. I'm not being patronizing. Trust me. If we get that through our thick skull, we'd find the liberty that actually is in serving Jesus Christ. His commandments are liberating. It's a blessing. They get greater and greater as time goes on. Look at verse 18. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And as you follow God and do what he says, you know what happens? It gets better and better as time goes on. Why do we get the opposite attitude? The Christian life should be increased joy, increased blessing, increased power, increased answer to prayers, increased souls saved, more and more unto the perfect day. So you guys, getting wisdom is the principal thing. And if you and I can set our heart on wisdom, ask God for wisdom. Because I don't know about you, I lack it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I lack it. If we could say, God, I want some wisdom, help me. All these other things will start clicking into place. I don't really understand what wisdom. Ask God. What's the moral of the story, preacher? Because you're confusing us. Go home, get on your knees, and say, God, please give me wisdom. And I'm going to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking till the door's opened. And can I tell you something? It's a journey that'll take you the rest of your life unto the perfect day. Let's bow our heads for prayer.